Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Warning. This episode contains foul language. Mudwalker Productions presents This Is Us.
All right, welcome back to our third and end of season cast AMA. I'm Duke Mudwalker, creator and writer of Raising Hope, and I am joined with...
Jennifer Johnson. I play Julie.
Oh! Journey.
Again, Journey.
Journey. That's awesome.
You're just going to have to keep it in there. Here's Julie.
Here's Samantha Feltz as Julie.
Joshua Johnson, I play John and Harris.
Andrea Carnegie, I play Sarah. He threw me off.
All right. Thank you guys for all being here. I appreciate you all so much.
Even Jenny snorts, which have to stay in.
Oh, I don't, I'm not going to edit this one. This is raw. This is us. Episode 3. All right. Just to start off, we want to give a huge thank you to our very first patron member, Matthew Keaton.
Thanks, Matthew!
Thanks, Matthew! From Sam, Julie.
My favorite patron so far. Yep. 100%.
We love him much.
Keaton's the guy.
He's got a lot of questions for us, too.
It's like this guy's got a killer last name and the first patron.
Wait, his last name's Keaton. Do we have his first name?
Matthew.
I'm sorry. I'm slow. Matthew, we really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, and he does ask some good questions.
Can I ask one question to him? Are you Batman?
All right, so we're going to jump right into the questions that we got. So from Fire311 on Twitter asked, what was your favorite episode to record? So I'm going to start and then we'll go around the circle. I think for me, my favorite episodes are a tie between 11 and 12, just for the fact that everybody had so much that they had to do and you guys really took charge and really acting out these scenes. And for me, it was really fun to hear that progression.
I mean, I guess I go with episode 12 because I remember that best. It's fresh in my mind. I like getting shot. That was fun.
Great. I think that sounded really good, too.
Well, Julie over here thinks that, yeah, I'm going to second what Journey Jenny said about getting shot, being blown up by the RPG. That was, I had to literally throw myself against the pod wall probably about 7 times because I tried it 3 or 4 times without doing that. And it didn't feel right. I couldn't get it. And I was like, I have to be in the moment. And being in the moment apparently was repeatedly throwing myself against a wall and it worked. So that was my favorite. I think that was 11.
That could be actor abuse. I just want to note that I think that it's great that we call it a pod. So that's pretty cool.
Well, what did she call it the other time? It was like Pod Lab.
Yeah.
It is a pod lab.
Yeah. I call it the Pod Lab.
So, I think, I'd second the same with them is that when I have to do more to get my acting to come out, it makes me feel like it's the funnest because it like the same thing, like the one where I'm like, just die, you know, that I really had to give that. It almost made me laugh doing it, but it's like you're holding the guns up. And then also having to bring in Harris, which is really hard for me. And it's like I keep messing up the voice, but I think we are going to perfect it. But just again, just having to put that effort into act is my favorite part.
Right. And you had to like run in place.
Yeah, 100%. Or with Harris, that last one when I'm yelling back at Jonathan, what's his name, character's name?
Ethan,
yeah. I had to get down below the microphone and yell. So anyway.
Sarah, my favorite episode to shoot was also the worst one, was the one I had to do like a half horrible Australian accent just because... It's not embarrassing. That's not the word. Awkward, maybe. but I love being pushed outside my comfort zone like that. So I think that was probably one of my favorite ones. Anytime I have to be outside my comfort zone is fun for me.
All right. And then the second question, Travis Link on Facebook asked, how do you start an audio drama, like getting the right setup and getting the work out there? Well, to start, you basically just need to not be afraid to write your story and get it out there. And at that, don't be afraid to ask your family if they want to become voice actors with you, which honestly, that's one of the funnest things. And then for equipment, you just need some decent mics. Like right now, we're talking on some Movo mics, which are really good for doing cast interviews and discussions like this. But for production, I use Cardioid Dynamic Podcast Mic from Rode that gives really good, clear quality. So something like that would be perfect. And then a nice little interface like the Scarlett 2i2. And at that, you can use Anchor, you can use Acast. Just those are the good spots to get your podcast out there. And don't be afraid to do it.
And sometimes you just need a really good sister-in-law that gives you a $100 gift card to go buy some mics.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? You just got to kind of dive right in, right? Because yep. Remember the first episode?
Horrible.
Yeah, it was really hard to hear because you don't have the money for the quality.
Make something that you are proud of, first of all, and don't worry about, you know, what other people are going to think at first. Just make sure you're proud of it. That way,
and you know, the, gives you the courage. Kind of adding on to yours.
Fuck everyone else.
Yeah. was the mics, the equipment's big. You know, you don't want to sound like you're recording in your garage. But the one that you said, just do it, is kind of a big one for me because it sounds so cliche and funny to me. But when I say it, tell people, it's like the difference between someone who succeeds and does things is doing things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really right. is that simple. Do it.
And to throw just a stupid cliche saying, and on top of, like, to second what you're saying is, one of my favorite sayings has always been, nobody wants to write, but everybody loves to have written.
Yep.
I like that one.
That's a good one. All right, so we're going to go on to the Discord questions. And I know you had a hard time pronouncing this one, Sam. Fluidic Oak asks.
It's Fluidic.
I'm pretty sure it's Fluidic.
Fluidic Oak asks, or Fluid.
Write in and let us know.
Yeah, yeah.
Pronunciation. Just give us a breakdown of how you want us to pronounce it, because we'll make sure we correct that for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to assume it's Fluidic Oak. Why no kiss? And I'm assuming that one's for Journey.
Oh, because Brian hasn't found a toothbrush this whole apocalyptic thing. No, I think she's gone through a lot. She lost her husband. She lost her son. And that's pretty fresh. That wasn't that long ago when she found Brian. So I don't think she's going to dive on into a romantic relationship or kissing anybody.
So maybe why no kiss? Maybe Journey would feel a little bit guilty at this point in her life mm-hmm, if there was a kiss.
Mm-hmm. She kisses Hope.
Oh yeah. There you go. There was a kiss. See, yeah. You just missed it, dude.
Yeah. good question.
Matthew Keaton, the guy who has great questions.
And last
how
names.
Long do you plan to wait to release season 2?
Well, for right now, we're going to be taking a couple month break just so we can get season 2 script as far as possible and start producing the episodes. That way we don't have a massive wait time like we did with season 1. And then at the same time, we're also trying to increase our funding to get better equipment to be able to have everything recorded in scenes instead of individual lines.
Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah. I actually had a dream last night that we recorded all 5 seasons in 1 year. It's weird.
And maybe a bigger booth, too, because maybe someday we'll give you guys a sneak preview of what the booth that we're recording in now.
It's a little claustrophobic.
What is it, like 3x3? Sunny says, will Journey die at one point?
Sunny, it would be Julie's daughter. Actual daughter in real life, and she asked the real tough questions.
I just think we need to address that everybody, you know, I mean, eventually dies. Yeah.
She's gonna get old someday. Okay. We got Fluidic Oak again.
Oh, well, this is my turn, Fluidic Oak. So I'm sorry, I'm trying to learn how to read here. Just give me a second. How many seasons are planned with the old guy, Clint? ? Show up, show back up, backstory in, I'm so sorry, I'm going to read
it. Oh, I think he has
I'm going to do that again. I'm going to do that again. Yeah. How many seasons are planned with the old guy, Clint, to show back up, backstory on Hope prior to the untimely demise? Whew, I can't read Fluidic Oak. But I think that that's a question for Mikhail, because I don't know how many seasons are planned with the old guy, Clint. But we really, really hope that it's going to be all of them.
I think that because
I think everybody loves him.
Two separate questions.
Yeah, it is how many seasons are planned? So, how many seasons are planned?
How many seasons are planned? Oh no, there's not. That should be a period.
Yeah, how many seasons are planned? Will the old guy Clint show back up? Backstory on Hope prior to the untimely demise.
Okay, so question mark. Questions.
Yeah. So for the seasons that we have planned, I originally had six seasons planned, but with some of the issues that we've had with some of the voice actors, we kind of had to change the storyline a little bit. So we're still planning to have five seasons, but hopefully if things change, we might have that sixth season coming back. And as for Clint, that's kind of up in the air.
Well, and one thing that you guys kind of have to understand about the voice actor behind Clint is he actually is Clint. He lives pretty solitary, off the grid. He lives up in the top of the mountains, a little bit even more than us. And sometimes it's hard for him to get in and out of his road, especially during the winter and during spring breakup. So that's kind of put a wrench into Mikhail or Duke Mudwalker's process, because he kind of had to, you know, Cameron and Clint, Cameron kind of had to disappear for a while, but that's just because Corden, who plays Cameron, was actually literally snowed in at the time. Yep. He could not come off his mountain. So,
and back to Matthew Keaton, almost called him Michael. How much hardship can Brian take before he tries to resort back to his old ways of being alone?
Oh, that one's it's kind of a loaded question there, because it honestly would be the destruction of the group at Sandpoint. Like, the biggest one would be if anything ever happened to Hope, he wouldn't be able to cope with that, and at that, he's done.
Which is his hope.
Yeah. Yep.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, have kids, you'll know.
Yeah.
Next question from Sir Pants-a-Lot, which is the best name ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I didn't think of it.
I'll pick two.
Is what were the biggest issues / highlights you had while producing season one? There's three questions, so that's the first question.
Okay. So I think the biggest issue that we had for production of season one was occasionally we ended up having issues with the equipment that I was using. So I ended up having to buy new equipment, like a new desktop for recording, because my laptop fried on me, and then at that point, I lost all the voice files for episodes 1, 2, and part of 3. So that's why I can't really go back and make adjustments. But I did adjust volume levels to where you can kind of hear what's going on now. And then I think the biggest highlights have honestly just been watching the family act out all these characters and really get into it, which has been honestly really fun for me.
Second question, what was the process of coming up with the ideas for characters were any inspired by real life people?
All of you guys sitting here. That's my inspiration was, I wonder what our family would do in a zombie apocalypse.
And if you become our second Patreon, maybe we have some clips of us and you can get a little...
You'll get a little special... Yeah. Sight into
you'll see the act you'll see the actual chaos of what's actually behind it. It's pretty chaotic.
Yeah. Question 3, which character does each cast member relate to the most? So let's start.
Well, starting with me, I believe I actually do relate more with Brian, because I am a very big recluse and I didn't really want to come off the mountain or really get out, but yeah, now that I have my family and they're really inspiring me to do all this, like, I'm really coming out of my comfort zone a little bit, which is kind of like Brian and how he's growing right now. Like, so I think that one's the one I can relate to the most.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Well, we can come back around the circle to you.
I think that Clint would definitely relate, you know, Corden Baker would relate to Clint. Like Sam said.
Right. Well, yeah. And because Corden, in my opinion, Corden Baker, which here up in the pod lab we call K-Dog,
or Bullet Daddy.
Yeah. It's weird, but I would say that at least in my life and background. And I think that maybe Journey, Jennifer, and John, Joshua might relate to this because, spoiler alert, we're all siblings. I think that a lot of us actually relate to the character of Clint because we really grew up reclusive. We grew up on the top of a mountain. We were all homeschooled. So we kind of relate to that character, I think, in our souls. But if you like the audio, commentary and everything of each character, I think that Mikhail did do a really good job. I think that we do on a surface and even maybe deeper level actually relate to our own characters. Like, I do think I really relate to Julie. I can't speak for them, but I do think that Jennifer Johnson really relates to Journey. I think that Joshua Johnson probably really relates to John. And I definitely feel like Andrea Carnegie really relates to Sarah.
Yeah.
I think I would agree with that. You know, because the characters were based after ourselves, I kind of try to relate as much as possible to John as if it was really happening, if I'm actually in the, you know, a zombie apocalypse in this town and that kind of stuff. So, I wish I had more input for that question, but, you know, the characters were kind of based around us and we have to put ourselves into interacting and feeling like that character so much so that we have better acting because obviously mm-hmm. we're not professionals. So, I mean, it mm-hmm. helps our acting on top of relating.
Right. And John's the one running around fixing everything. Like, he John fixes Johnson. The fences.
Structural integrity inspector.
Yeah. which really relates to Josh. Yeah. Joshua Johnson.
I feel like I relate a little bit to all of them. I mean, I'm a bit of a loner recluse like Brian and Clint and a bit of kind of you might say like a take charge kind of a person when it comes to family like yep. Journey and someone of leadership quality like Julie and John's weird and
you're happy to be like mediator. You'll get in there and be like, hey, everybody listen.
I relate to Sarah in that you can tell that she really wants to be out where everybody else is and be helping and fighting in that battle with everyone, and she feels kind of helpless just back there taking care of Hope, but she knows that's where she's needed most. Mm-hmm. And she enjoys spending time with her, so
that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that was good. I want to just say really quick, if you guys hear this weird clinking noise in the background, that's my bracelets, and I'm going to take them off right now.
All right. Sir Pantelot asks again, will there be more crazy infected types? I kind of want to let Journey take the reins on this one. You're the one who explained the different types in the show.
Yeah, but me and my memory doesn't work great.
How many types have we come across so far?
Bloaters.
Yeah, there's runners. There's four types.
Walkers.
So there would be a fifth type, but... Oh, I think they're probably... Yeah, okay.
The spitter ones, right?
Yeah, the spitters, right? And they blow up and then eventually Journey's infect poppers. Everybody. Yeah, the poppers. but I think the next one will be real, real fast, possibly, which could be the most terrifying zombie. You know,
and maybe we'll go maybe. Really out and give them wings. Probably not.
I do have to say that in season two, we will have some new monsters showing up.
And we don't want to give too much because you got to be suspense. Yeah.
We're not trying to spoil
anything. No spoiler alerts up in here.
It could be wicked crazy.
All right. And then Sir Pantelot asks again, what techniques or tricks do you use when voice acting your character, such as getting yourself into a certain headspace or just pretending to be an old guy that smokes a pack a day?
You throw yourself against a wall if you have to.
Yeah, I think for that one, for me, it's really easy for me to do it because I can pretty much see everybody in my head and how the story goes. So getting into character for me is just like playing in my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a vivid imagination, so I see everything when I'm doing it. So it's like watching a movie in my head.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I think that I really just try to feel more natural, so I can kind of know when I am in character, because when I respond as you're giving me lines, because we'll go back and forth, I can hear when my character kind of relaxes and I feel like I'm imagining the character. As far as Harris goes, I just what's his name? Dean Morgan. What's
Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yeah, that's just who I imagine when I'm doing Harris. So
he went to high school with our mommy.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
No, that's not Jeffrey Dean Morgan. No.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
No, he's talking about James Earl Jones. James
oh,
Earl
Jones. But I wasn't wrong. Jeffrey Dean Morgan did go to school with our mom. Yeah.
That's true. But, fun fact.
Yeah, a little fun fact there.
It does remind me of James Earl Jones.
Yeah. So, and then I think about just him being like a pastor in a zombie apocalypse. Like, you know, I just imagine that when I'm trying to be him. So that would be my experience with him. And with John, it's just try to be natural. Just try not to sound like you're reading. Try not to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which right. can be challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially if they're like really long lines, you're like, I want to get this out in one full go, but you trip up on yourself. And
yeah.
That's sorry. Just the way it goes.
I have to apologize to you guys when I do that too. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to give you like half a page.
Well, we can get used to it. Be a little bit better actors and, you know, maybe rehearse. But,
right.
So it's on us, we'll do yeah. a table
I think one. Yeah. I think one thing, like being a novice voice actor coming into it is really having to kind of take the time to actually live within the pauses. Because when you're reading something, you know, your instinct is to kind of just read through it. Yep. But you have to understand, you have to kind of bridge the gap between...
Be the character.
Yeah, you have to bridge mm-hmm. the gap between, okay, this is how I would read this, but is this how I would speak this to another person? No. When we speak, we have a lot of hems and haws, a lot of pauses, a lot of... Being comfortable with the pauses is actually what makes your voice acting sound stronger mm-hmm. and it takes a bit to learn that, you know, mm-hmm. to be comfortable in the pauses and then yep. to move on.
Yeah.
I would say this one's for Joshua Johnson, aka John.
Oh no.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Oh.
This is from yeah. Serbian.
This has been a really triggering moment for us.
Yeah. You might get us canceled. Let's be careful. Hey, here.
I'm just gonna let you know,
Sir Pants-a-Lot.
Sir Pants-a-Lot. You created a little bit of a rift right, going on here. Like we've been debating this for about 2 days now since you asked that question.
Some people got mad at me, you know, especially even characters, even our fellow voice actors. They kind of felt that I was just not credible enough to say this, but I just don't think you should put fruit on my pizza. You know, I like my cheese, I like my veggies, I like pretty much any kind of thing. Other than pineapple, don't put it there. It doesn't belong on my pizza.
And so, again, you will eat a shish kebab with pineapple on there.
Pineapple with some barbecue kind of does taste a little good, you know? Right. But when right. it comes to pizza, I'm not looking for fruit. I'm not a Hawaiian pizza.
He does not speak for the entire cast. Just throwing that out there.
I think that pineapple belongs on pizza.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and a shish kebab.
I totally agree with that one. It okay. just depends on how it's cooked.
I think pineapple belongs on pizza so I can give it to my child and then eat the pizza.
It's a snack for both of you.
I think pineapple just belongs on my pizza when I feel like it belongs on my pizza. Sometimes it doesn't belong there, but if it's there, I'm not picky, so I'm gonna eat it. But I think that what Josh was saying about some barbecue on pineapple, that made me think about something, whereas, you know, a lot of people think about it as the Hawaiian pineapple, where it's like the Canadian bacon and the pineapple. I lean a little bit more towards like more of a barbecue pineapple smoked pizza. Mm-hmm. I like yep. that.
Oh, just backtracking real quick, because I like to do that in conversation. I wanted to point out and give people a sneak preview of me getting into character for Sarah. Sometimes it's me closing my eyes and imagining the situation and having Mikhail read the first couple lines before that. But my favorite way is to have Mikhail tell me the way that he wants it done, because he tries to do my voice. Brandon!
Brandon!
Let's hear it though. Let's hear it. Let's hear that. Like, let's hear how that exchange goes. Like, you okay. go ahead.
Give me a line.
Okay. We'll just go with, I have some script here. Well, let's go with Jamie. We'll do Jamie. Oh, crap. This might be some spoiler stuff.
Uh-oh.
No, that's spoilers.
Can't read that. No, I opened Pandora's box accidentally.
Well, here we go. Okay.
But it is really helpful for you to be like,
all right, here we go.
I need you to say it this way. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's so much better for me. And then I remember the line better as well.
So here, listeners, this is how Sarah gets into character with Mudwalker's help.
Okay, first he'll read the first line before mine.
So this is a conversation between Katie and Sarah. So this must be Hope. Hi, I've heard all about you, and oh my, you're just a little cutie, aren't you? And then I need Sarah to come in with that energy, like, what? Do you think I was lying when I said she was super adorable?
That's exactly how that goes. I gotta say it back like that. Yeah. But it's really helpful.
Yeah. And like I said, I remember it better than when I read it. And he'll say it. It's like a song. You know, you remember mm-hmm. the song mm-hmm. and the lyrics. I turn a lot of the script into a song.
Yeah.
So I can remember what I'm gonna say.
It helps him, with like cadence.
You yeah, know? You repeating it back, I remember it instantly and can say it.
Yep.
Okay, Sir Pancelot has one more question. How do you personally imagine the look of each character? What would you say their prominent traits are?
Well, for me, like I said, it's basically you guys. Like, you're all in that spot, but at the same time, like, if you've ever seen that music video, Radioactive, how they're all in, like, that, like, apocalyptic gear and, like, dirty face and, like, wild hair, like, that, to me, is kind of, like, how everybody looks. And, yeah.
No, right. Everybody's watching that music video.
Yeah, exactly. Hold pauses. I'm going to go to watch that. And also, you know.
Wait, can I just.
Again, be our patron so you can watch our videos. And
yeah, right? Then you can really see what we look like and how crazy we actually are. For me here, Julie, answering your question, like, how do you personally imagine the look of each character? That's kind of a weighty question for us, because when we imagine the look of our characters, like, we're all sitting together and we're together every single week. We all spend a lot of time together. So honestly, I think how we imagine it in our heads is what we see every day. And I understand that the listeners aren't seeing us. So it's kind of hard to answer that question when you're in the presence of these people all the time. I guess the best way to answer that would be that Honestly, in my head, I imagine every character to look a lot like the actual actor acting out that character. So when I'm like in a scene and we're on the wall screaming and you know, I'm telling Brandon, this isn't working out, Brandon, what do we do next? Like, I'm imagining I'm actually yelling at Gabe Hodges.
Which is kind of like a Thor, you know?
Which he does kind of look like Thor.
And we can kind of get a sneak peek of Brian as well on the cover art, you know, the first cover art kind of.
Worked really, yeah, it was a really good one.
Yeah, it's still from the side, but it kind of gives you a little bit of a like, oh, that's okay.
And a massive thank you to Kalarion Art for doing that. He's one of our good friends, and he's the one that's doing most of our cover art. So did he have a
voice? Amazing artist.
Yeah, Brent was Steven.
Yeah, right. Like a short
He's got a thing for Julie.
Yeah,
but she's absolutely. Not interested in
really, talented. Really quick on the Kalarion Art thing. What Mikhail Duke Mudwalker was just referencing was Kalarion Art. He's done a lot of the art for the podcast. If you guys go to Instagram and look up Kalarion Art, you'll get all of his stuff. He is an amazing artist, and I, you know, if anybody can help support him, like anybody yeah. wants to give him any support, just look up Kalarion Art, and it. I'm gonna butcher it because I don't have it sitting right in front of me, but I think it's Kalarion Art, Kalarion Art on Instagram. Check it out. He's really good.
One second.
His name is Brent Stevens. He's awesome.
It was right there.
I have it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. But I wanted to go to that next question.
Maybe we can mention it in the description of this episode.
Yeah, I'll put a link down in the description of the episode. But now back to the question.
So this one is from Fluidic Oak. How were you inspired to create Raising Hope?
Well, the inspiration for me came from being and she hates this. I'm a massive horror fan. I love all sorts of horror movies, and zombies for me was a big one.
I don't hate it.
I know you don't hate it, but you're always like, seriously, another horror movie?
No, too much of anything is not a good thing.
I disagree. It's like, I could totally watch horror movies all day, every day. But right. I was inspired a lot by Resident Evil, Walking Dead, The Last of Us, and honestly, like a lot of George A. Romero's, like Dawn of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, like pretty much every zombie movie out there. So I take bits and pieces of everything.
What's a really creepy one? 24 hours.
28 days 28
later. 28 days later. That's super creepy.
Yeah. I had a whole idea of like something I wanted to write, and then I realized that it was so close to 28 days later that I had to throw the entire thing in the trash bin. I was like, oh, I just spent a whole day writing this out and realized that it's real close to that. I think I think that, like, my whole idea of how the infection spreads and everything was because we're in the future now, so we've kind of got more knowledge on how, like, that could work. So I think that I could have written it, not to be facetious or stupid, but, like, I think I could have made it more realistic just in our time now, but the fact is they already did it. And yeah. So I'm not going to do it again.
Well, that's kind of where I referenced 28 Days Later in the very beginning episodes. Like, when I first went into the gas station, it was like, ooh, like, it's all creepy. It's not a bunch of people around. It's like, it reminds me of that one movie, 28 Days Later. Like,
right.
It's all, like, just dead.
Well, and if I can interject for just a second here, I don't want to take over too much or anything. And again, I like to always say, oh, I'm not speaking for everybody. And then, you know, when somebody says, like, this is going to offend you, but I don't mean it that way. They probably do mean it that way. So when I say I'm not interjecting for everybody, I actually am interjecting for everybody. But just like to go into a little bit of the beginning of Raising Hope. Of course, I'm not on the inside. You know, that's his project. That's Mikhail Pollack's project. But I know that he did spend a long, long time working on another project that hopefully you guys will hear of. And I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let him do that if he wants to. He spent a lot of time working on that. And then he spent a little bit less time working on Raising Hope. But he kind of just jumped into it because it was a passion project. And when he jumped into it, he created the trailer before he had written really any of the script. So he created the actual trailer for it before he even had anything written. And then he played that trailer for us one night. We were in our yard at a campfire and he played the trailer. And my first thought was, do it.
That's, you gotta make that a series. Perfect. We need to hear the rest.
Yes, that's beautiful. Like, write the first episode. Get on it.
Okay, you can hear the mascots in the background. AKA our dogs.
All the dogs barking.
But that's a blessing because they're good mascots. We have another really good question by Matthew Keaton. How long is the editing per episode? And I feel like the last one was actually like a lot of editing.
The finale episode literally took me probably around 24 hours total.
Yeah.
And I was literally locked away in the office for like 3 days just editing. And at that, I spent like, I think the first day I spent 11 hours straight on it. And then the next day I spent a little less time. I think I spent like 8 hours. And then after that, I just had to push and really get it done. And yeah, I want to say about 24 hours for the finale. And then all the other episodes, depending on the show, the episode length, like the very first episodes, no time at all because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Oh, it was like 15-minute episodes? Yeah. 20 minutes?
They were very short. But as we grew and started to add more actors and having to have them record their lines individually, going through and finding the certain lines that I wanted to take and clip, that took a lot, especially now that we have such a wide cast.
Especially right. Since we're learning and we weren't the best in this get-go. Each one might get a little shorter of the editing.
That's what I was just going to say. Like if your voice actors didn't bumble around as much, it'd probably shorten the editing.
Well, and that's where I really appreciate you guys, because at that, like, it really shows the progression of us as a family doing this together. Like, you can see it in episode 1 and 2. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm not an audio editor or anything like that. But then as we started to grow, I started to learn more and everybody started taking charge and actually getting into it. So everybody had that growth period where it's like now in the finales, like the last couple episodes, you can really see how far we've come. And that's really awesome. And at that, I think most of the episodes now is probably 15 hours is what it takes for doing like the in-between episodes, like,
which is pretty good.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
honestly, if you hear a lot of other podcasters and they're editing, it takes a long time to edit anything.
Well, and you know, that's what, you know, a listener would just be like, oh, it's just a small episode, this could, you know, it's like you gotta pump these out. Yeah, well, you gotta realize, you know, I gotta search for vehicle sounds, I gotta search for the right kind of music for the right kind of thing, I gotta clip together 15 different actors voices together, I gotta find the right one where they didn't mess up, I gotta, you know, so there's a big learning curve and a lot more goes into it than just somebody watching something would think there is. So
yeah, and I'm doing all this like alone too, like I don't have another editor to help me out, like this is all done by me. And I lose my mind sometimes because sometimes I will lose all the work that I just did, like,
that's happened a couple times.
Yeah, Jenny can attest to that, where I just come into the room and I'm like pulling out my hair and she's like, what? And I'm just like, everything that I just did for the last 8 hours is gone. I'm like, oh, and she's like, are you going to take a break? I'm like, yeah.
No, then you start over the next day. So what do you do? So fluid dick oak.
He's going to hate you.
This is a really good one. Okay, ignore this as if it's already been on an episode. I forget easily. Hey, me too. Any possible spin-off on how the infection started? I would love that. Kind of a virus prequel? Question mark.
Okay, so for that one, yes, there will be, but it's going to be a miniseries that will be a Patreon-exclusive miniseries that follows the beginning stories of how everybody started. So in the beginning, the first two episodes will follow Brian and what happened to Brian. And then after that, there will be two episodes about Journey and what she had to go through and where she came from, and then how her and Brian meet. And then after that, we'll have John, Sarah, Brandon, and Julie, and their, rest in peace, Amy, who was their friend that died during the initial outbreak. We'll have the story of how they all met. And then at that, hopefully there will be a spot where at the very end, you guys will be introduced to the Sandpoint Settlement.
Right, well, building of the Sandpoint Settlement.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it'll be a 6-episode miniseries for the Patreon exclusive.
No, that would be really great. And I think there are going to be a lot of spinoffs for this series. But like, it could go back to like none of us and having just a lab with like all the people going, this is happening, and it's none of us. It's just, you know, it's a spin-off of these people trying to control this virus, control it.
Because right now we're just the victims. Yep. We're just the victims of the virus. Yep. Like, we don't know what's actually happened.
Yeah, nobody has any idea, like, what's going on. Like,
yeah, it'd be too easy for a lot of things, like, find out why you're immune or things like that, if we knew, you know. So it's nice that we don't, because it makes it harder to survive.
Well, yeah, hopefully closure will come.
Yeah.
Closure will always come.
Flutic Oak, I think that's just a really good question, because that's one I'm always asking when I listen to a series or watch a movie. I'm like, I want to know where everything came from. I want to know where this started.
And it's good that we're doing it something that's going to be a miniseries, because I hate when they just kind of like don't explain it that well. And it's kind of like you kind of ruined the whole series because you didn't take time to really make sense of why this is spreading.
So right.
Just, yeah.
Oh, zombie, it's all there.
And then you just decide to end it without ever going back and explaining. Yeah. That kind of leaves the listener just hanging.
Drives me crazy. But hopefully we'll get there. Okay, so we have one from Sunny. Will Journey and Brian get together?
Spoiler, we'll always play that. It's got to be a player. We're going to play that.
For a long time, yeah. They're going to be like real close. Somebody's going to walk in. They're almost ready to kiss. Somebody's going to walk in. You know how that works.
And then that's going to happen. Dead.
Nothing.
You're gonna get hit by a bus out of nowhere.
I was just gonna say, or shit just literally hits the fan.
So Sunny, that's where Journey dies.
It's a kiss of death.
That's it for the questions I have here. Do we have more?
No, that was it. We answered all the questions. Wow. That was everything from Twitter, Facebook, and Discord.
That's awesome. Which... Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Matthew Keaton, Sir Pants a Lot, Sunny, Fluidic. Oak.
Again, Fluidic.
You guys are rock stars.
Fluidic. Just write in.
And also, thank you to Fire311. He's also the dude who produced that opening scene soundtrack for the finale episode.
Oh, kudos to you, man. Yeah. I haven't met you personally, Julie, here, but that sounded awesome.
He does a really good job, and honestly, I'm looking forward to hearing more of his stuff.
Yeah, thanks to all the other people, too, that have come in and been actors for us.
So yeah, like Aethor.
Aethor and Hem and Aethor.
They were awesome.
I'm an insane fan of Hem. Okay.
Okay, so just for the listeners, this is where it gets a little bit weird, because, you know, you hear all of us talking to each other. So, like, Hem and Aethor, I really admire them for their own podcast feats that they've done that I've listened to a lot of, and I think they're amazing. A little part of me is, like, over here, like, oh, I feel like I'm with them, because, yeah, I had a lot of scenes with them. But just so you guys know, like, I've never actually talked to them. But that's just kind of how the podcasting thing works. They send their lines in, then we record our lines. So, I really look up to the way that they voice act, especially, no offense, Aethor. Hem. No, I'm sorry. Fuck. Yeah, no. Hem is the female. Aethor is the male.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hem, you just, like, you're an inspiration for me, and hopefully I can get to be just close to that good.
She's just natural.
Yeah.
She is.
So, Fluidic Oak, if we do make prequels, you better get right behind Matthew Keaton, because he's the Patreon, right?
Yep.
He's the very first patron.
He's our little dirt kicker.
There will be extras that will just be exclusively for the people who support the podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully we can have a sit down right here with you, Matthew, one day. Who knows?
That would be cool. I would love to start like having some extra guests that are listeners who are coming in and able to join us in these live sessions.
And then I can talk to Fluidic in person and we can clear this up.
That would be wonderful.
All right. And so after all those questions, we're going into what future processes that we're going to be doing as the company and family. Right now, we're actually working on additional stories. Andrea Carnegie, who voices Sarah, has one that we are, honestly, I'm still waiting for the rest of the script. Come on.
We're all sitting in anticipation. We're very excited. We've read the first bit that she wrote, and it was great.
It's so good. Yeah, it's going to come out in a few months. I'm really nervous, but mostly excited.
I think we talked about trying to do a spooky Halloween October release for that show. So hopefully we can get that in the
works
pretty soon.
That's where the idea originated, because Mikhail Bryan asked me to do a scary Halloween special for last year. It's taken me until now to get them in. So
you had it ready, and then I told you, I'm like, this is too good. Like, it's not a one and done. Like, we need some more episodes.
It is really, really, really good. And it'll be under Mudwalker Productions.
Well, let's undersell it. That way, if they don't like it, they can be like, you know. So it's not that good. Don't expect much.
Right. And I think
but be ready.
And I think it's safe to say that any releases that you're going to hear coming through this family, you're going to be able to find them if and when they do actually come to fruition. You're going to find them all in Mudwalker Productions.
And I don't want, you know, so a lot of people, when they're like, we announce that they're going to do a show, it puts a lot of pressure on them, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do too much pressure. But I encourage you fans to please put more pressure on them. So Sam has one as well.
And it's good. I've been pushing her a lot too. I'm like, did you write today?
It's weird because I had this idea for what is hopefully listeners like Joshua John said, like, put all the pressure you want down, because that helps all of us, that pushes us to be better. We take criticism very well. I initially was going to write it as a book, and then, you know, Mikhail, Duke Mudwalker got into this whole podcast production thing, and that really made me reevaluate, could I, instead of writing this as a book, could I instead like write it as a podcast? So that's what I'm working on right now. I can't make any promises that you guys are going to like it, but I am going to write it, and hopefully it will come out. Hopefully no later than the end of this year, we can maybe get one season out. We'll see. I'm not going to make any promises though.
And that's what would be really cool, is like, we could just use all the same voice actors.
Yes.
And so when we do the script reading for Raising Hope, we can just do the script reading for the new podcast, and then we have them, you know.
And it gives us some more experience, too, to become better actors. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah,
and
right.
One day I'll get better.
I do have another show that I'm currently producing right now that we're three episodes into production.
It sounds really good, guys, just
and
so you know.
At that, this one is half script, half improv. So this one's more of fun, like, show up and get in the booth, and we're going to riff off of each other and just have a really good time. And hopefully that one will be released here, I want to say, in about a month and a half.
Maybe. Right.
So what might that be called?
Stark Space of Mine. It's a sci-fi comedy drama.
Well, I think it's going to have a lot of comedy.
And what Mikhail, a.k.a. Duke Mudwalker, says about improvised, it is going to be a little bit more improvised. I would say that some of Raising Hope was improvised, but it was more improvised in the fact that Julie couldn't pronounce things. So she had to change them. For some reason, what was it? Figured? I don't know. I can't say figured for some reason.
Oh, figured. Not to
No, go ahead, interrupt. John.
It was the same thing. Like,
you'd think little things that could be so easy to pronounce would just like stump you when you're in there. You're not thinking. And like I said, semi truck. It's not a semi truck. It's a semi truck. So,
but I honestly thought it was funny for like for how long of lines you guys had at certain points. Like you nailed them, and then you get to like a 4-word line.
Couldn't do it.
Just
it's so farther. Yeah. Whatever dialect you're from and how you say it, whether it's further or farther, Julie cannot say that word.
No, don't ask me to say that word.
She doesn't know how to.
Or when you're supposed to be in distress, but you sound excited about somebody's, you know, possible.
Oh my God, you're dying!
How dare you?
Yeah, and then as far as release dates for season 2, right now, my whole hope is to be able to get it released by towards the end of July. And at that, I want to start recording as soon as possible. We do have somebody that might, he will be leaving us for, what is it like?
June.
30 days, 28 days?
39.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, we are what's the word? We are manifesting that to happen.
Yes.
That may not, like, it may not be till June of next year that actually does happen, but we'll make sure to give you guys an update if John does, for some mysterious reason, disappear. You might find him on TV. We'll see. Yeah. We'll let you know if that happens.
But at that, I'll get his lines recorded before any of that, because I'll have the script far enough along that I can be like, all right, no, dude, we're going to sit down. We're going to do 12 episodes.
Well, go ahead and disappear for 39 maybe days.
So, Mikhail has got, I think, 3 episodes now written of season 2, which is like a huge leap forward. Mm-hmm. So, 3 episodes, you know, by next weekend, he'd have 4 episodes written, and then we just get the voice actors and we get those episodes out so quick. Mm-hmm. So, when the release date comes, we'll be
sitting pretty.
We won't be stressing because somebody gets sick.
Yeah, and we'll be able to keep our initial, what do you call that? Promise? Dedication?
Dedication.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit happens. Life gets in the way sometimes, you know? Like I said, it's like I got sick at like the last episode. I don't have a voice.
Well, you know what? You got shot in the chest. So yeah, your voice is a little raspy. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no.
And Julie here did actually push that back a little bit. That was kind of my fault too, because I went on a trip and I came back sick. And so we had to push out recording my lines 2 or 3 days. And I know that kind of put a hindrance on the entire podcast in a whole. So the thing is we're all fickle podcast listeners, but when you're actually creating it yourself, you're like, I just need more time. I just need more time.
But you want it to be quality, so you don't want to step in there when you're feeling like shit or sound like shit. Yep.
But yeah, hopefully this time we can actually adhere to our promise of a bi-weekly zombie podcast audio drama, which would be nice. And then on another topic, we are working on doing an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign, which will help us with production costs, getting some actual better quality mics, like the Rode podcast mics that we use to record our characters, because we want to start doing scene recordings instead of individual.
And what's the link to that?
I don't have a link to that yet.
Coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming soon. And in one of the next bonus episodes that we'll be doing here in the next like week or two, we'll have a little bit more information on that, because my quality control manager, who is Hem Cleveland, is going to be looking over everything that I'm putting on the Indiegogo just to make sure that it looks good, because she has experience doing that, and she's like,
she's right.
She gave me a list.
So the listeners know that he doesn't have a link right at this moment, but boy, would that be appreciated if anybody could just donate even the slight, just a cup of coffee amount, whatever, because we're really doing this off our coattails, and it's being self-funded through the family. None of us are making any money off of this right now. This is a passion project, and we're doing it because we love, hearing that other people like to hear it. That helps our egos a lot. Helps us a lot. But we're not doing this for monetary gain. We're doing this because it is a passion project, and we really appreciate everybody that helps us with that.
And I know that we already did a shout out for Hem and Aethor, but I just want to kind of say that again, because that's huge that she's actually not just helping with the podcast, giving their voice as well, but they're also giving you insight that you wouldn't have
to do something.
So yeah. helpful.
And at that, like, a lot of the crowdfunding and stuff is to pay those kind of people for their time because of what they do. It's so beneficial for us, and it's helpful. And at that, I want to help them as much as possible.
Right. And like other people
and, real quick, let's all congratulate Hem and Athor for getting married.
Congratulations! Yes. Good job, guys!
Yeah, we love you guys.
Live long and prosper.
Yes.
To add on to the one question you were asked on, you know, how do you create a drama like this? Having connections like that is a big one.
Well, so. Yeah, and wait, I didn't mean to cut you off, and I'm going to let you go right off of that. What I wanted to say that kind of goes with that is, you know, some people ask about that, like, how do you start a podcast? How do you do this? Well, what I honestly would say, and I'm maybe don't have all the credentials to say that because we're all novices here, but, the water's warm. Just step in and you'll find family.
There's because no word.
The podcasters, they are a community. They're a family and they will step up and help you. So don't be afraid. Just
You can
Dip
also
your toe in.
Reach out to any one of us. We'd love to help out, Linda Voice. Or
yeah, we're all family
so
here.
And confidence
with the boost. With the crowdfunding, it does help to keep voice actors.
Yeah. Other than family, when you're reaching out to other people that actually you need more voice actors, you have to pay them.
Yeah.
It's not something
and then,
you can just be
and
like,
then
oh,
not
come.
Only that, the crowdfunding will also help us to get some merchandise out, like some t-shirts with the logos on it, some stickers of the artwork.
Because we'll be giving those away to people who become Patreons.
Yeah.
You know?
Not saying that if you ask us for a voice, we're going to be like, well, that'll be $1,000.
And Michael Keaton, you're definitely owed a shirt.
Matthew.
I mean, Matthew. I'm so sorry. Sorry, Matthew.
I don't know
we'll
why
send one to Michael, too.
Michael,
yeah. We'll send one to him, too, just because she's engaged.
Oh, I wouldn't know why everybody wants to call Michael Keaton.
Who knows? Badass last name, though.
All right. And then I think the last thing is, yeah, if you guys want to join our Patreon, I mean, we're going to have a bunch of stuff that we're going to be putting up on there soon, and we don't have much in the way to offer for merchandise right now, but coming soon, and we're going to have videos where you get to meet the cast and see what we all look like. You'll get to see the recording process,
right?
And yeah,
and you're never going to be forgotten. Like, we know who you are. Our first patrons, we know who you are, and you are going to be on the top of the list.
Oh yeah,
that You'll never, sounded you, threatening, but it was from love.
Yeah,
you're growing
you might,
with us.
You won't, might be, end up you getting, won't be forgotten.
You might end up getting some badass shit too.
Yeah. And then at that, our last count that we have right now for our downloads, we're at 42,000, and it keeps growing, and people love it. So
thank you, you all so
thank
much.
You guys
That's
so
exciting.
Much.
Thank you.
And yeah, this is us and. I think that's it for the night.
Thanks
Love
for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.